Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Get caught in the rain. Hey, put this on the list for DBJ for next season. If you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain. Several people have texted in. Here's the first one. Believe it or not, Omar just gave you a gem. That's the best Slurpee flavor out there. Someone else texts in, that's next level. Somebody else texts in, pina colada Slurpee for the win.
Huh? You've seen the white Slurpee.
But not often.
Yes.
Like he says it's a staple. Like there's two staples, Coke and cherry.
No, red and blue. There's always red and blue.
Blues usually, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of a movie theater, though. You're wrong about those being the staples.
I'm talking at a 7-Eleven, though. They always have Coke. They always have cherry. Somebody's going in the indoor pool behind you, Crowder.
You're a friend. You might have been sneaking up on me. Thank you.
Delightful sentence to be able to say. Someone's going in the indoor pool behind you. I want to go through this quickly because Doug Plagan is going to join us, but he's very busy in Tampa because the puck drops at 6:30 tonight. Pre-game starts at 6 p.m. on this radio station, so everything is pushed up for him. So I'll start with the Panthers update. Road to a repeat. That's sponsored by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out when it's game time. Make Celsius a part of your play and get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers. I'll give you the lines because Plagans will never talk about the lines with us. The Lightning, they are minus 125 favorites tonight. Panthers are plus 105. Think there's going to be anything like a repeat that you saw? Me personally, if I bet it, I'm going to live bet it like I did on Tuesday night. I think the Lightning coming out, they're doing every possible thing they can to dictate the pace of the game and what goes on. Yeah, definitely a guy at the pool behind you, Crowder. I don't know if that's security. I don't know what's going on there, but
you're cleaning the tables.
There's some action. There's definitely some action at the pool at the Bon Boy.
My man.
But I might, if the Panthers go down 1-0 or 2-0, I might take a flyer on them just to win the game for fun. But Lightning are minus 125. Panthers are plus 105. Over-under for the game is 5.5 goals.
I jumped on the under.
You took it again.
Yeah, to your point, there's no way they're letting the Panthers skate up and down the ice. They only had 16 shots on goal, but they scored 6. There's no way that number can keep it up.
All right, real quick look here at the headlines for the 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
You guys saw Jimmy Butler fall on his behind yesterday.
Yeah, I felt bad. You know, and again, I've got no love for Jimmy Butler right now, but I love when good teams are evenly matched and you get to watch the best of each team go at each other. So that bummed me out that he was out.
I love people punking Draymond Green.
Did you watch the replay of that?
He flopped.
Because Draymond ostensibly got pushed and then ended up pushing someone who undercut Jimmy. But I think Draymond was kind of being spastic there.
He was being dramatic. But this is what I hate. Draymond always wants to run up and punch people and push people. And then if they touch him, he flies into the third row. Like, you can't be a tough guy and a flopper. That doesn't match.
Right.
No, I know the narrative yesterday, Hawk, because there was an angle. It looks like Draymond pushes Amen Thompson, who then undercuts Jimmy. Jimmy falls on his tailbone and could potentially be out a game or two. Steph Curry had a similar injury, missed 2 games. Yep. But there's other angles. They're just fighting for a rebound underneath the basket, and it almost looks like
it might be.
Yeah, he had his arm on him, and maybe gives him a shove. but he doesn't purposely shove him. Like, they're fighting for a rebound.
I didn't say that he purposely shoved him. I just thought he was kind of doing the Draymond antics,
the flailing
in the paint
stuff
there. Yeah. That made Thompson kind of look. I mean, he had nothing to do with it. I don't blame him at all.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe Draymond's overly, zealous antics underneath.
If he ever gets scored on in the paint, when they run the ball back down, he purposely runs into the back and starts arm fighting with the guy that scored. And
right.
Like he does all this BS, but then he wants to cry when something happens to him. I like him. The more I watch Draymond, the more I dislike him.
That series is literally a knife fight as well. Literally.
Who got stabbed last game?
Bro.
I don't know if it's literally.
Bro, literally the craziest knife fight I've ever seen.
I don't know.
Are you guys.
Literally.
Steph Curry is being held at every moment of that game, and the refs are like, oh, well, deal with it.
The hell with Steph Curry. I needed one more Duncan Robinson three last night to cash a three-leg parlay. I had Tyler over 23 and a half or whatever. He went over. I had, who was the other person to hit a three? Is it Struess? I don't know. I think it may have been Struess to hit 1-3. And then I need Tyler with 2 threes. He got one in the first half, and I'm waiting. They did not let him get open, period, end of story. All I was doing in the second half is watching Duncan Robinson in the limited minutes that he was out there. All I'm doing is watching him, waiting for him to get open behind the arc so that he can fire off a three. They would not let him breathe. And so then he gets antsy. And so when he does touch the ball, he just throws it away. I'm so done with him.
What's the phrase? The book is out on Duncan?
The book is out on Duncan.
Yeah, you can see how they play him.
The Heat will play on Saturday at 1 p.m. They, of course, lost yesterday in Game 2. They were down 19. It was a two-point game with 4 minutes to go. And then Donovan Mitchell decided he's going to be the best player in the series and win the game.
It was wild. That was something.
That was something.
The Warriors did lose yesterday, so that's a 1-1 series. You have some NBA action tonight. Inter-Miami, first leg, semifinal of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They're in Vancouver. Set to break a record for attendance at the BC Place where Vancouver, the Whitecaps, play. 54,000 expected to be on hand for this first leg semifinal matchup between Inter-Miami and Vancouver.
Wow.
Messi's expected to play. All the big four expected to play. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them
866. Money on that?
Say less.
I mean, what's the sitch there?
Sitch.
Vancouver.
Yeah, people say that?
No, I don't say that.
Let me check out the sitch on this sitch. I may have double used it. What's the sitch on this CONCACAF thing?
All right. Inter-Miami is probably the favorite, I would guess, in this game, Hawk. You could look it up. But my guess is they are the favorite. Vancouver is very good. Vancouver in the MLS this season has been doing pretty good. So,
how do I find this? Is this La Liga?
No, CONCACAF Champions Cup.
And a Miami. No, Vancouver's the favorite.
Are they the favorite at home?
Yeah, they're plus 120, and a Miami's plus 195.
Okay.
All right, you nailed it, Solana.
You know your soccer.
You have once again proven your soccer prowess. Yeah, the book is out on YouTube.
All right, so bet Vancouver. Go ahead, bet Vancouver.
I didn't say it was betting Vancouver. You're the guy who was spouting off. I didn't know anything.
I didn't spout anything off. I told you what
yes,
I think.
Yes, you did.
You asked me what I thought who the favorite would be. I think in Miami
just asked
would be
the
favorite.
Sitch was. I didn't ask what you thought. I said, what's the sitch? That's what they say in the streets.
What street? Glades?
Glades. All right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Weather, from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7. Partly cloudy. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the 70s. That's your weather.
How do you get 50-50 questions so wrong so often?
Wasn't a 50-50 question.
It was. Who's going to be favored?
Not a 50-50 question.
All right. Doug Plagans is going to join us. Do you need to go do something for the pivot?
Yeah, I got to run.
All right. Crowder's going to go do something for the pivot there in Green Bay. Leave your camera on. I just want to watch the indoor pool behind you.
You better leave me alone.
Yeah, just a live cam behind you would be great. I'm having the time of my life watching that. Doug Plagans, we're going to talk a little Panthers hockey in the next segment. From Tampa, Plagans will join us. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
What is life if you can't have arroz con pollo?
Hawk and Crowder.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Plagans time. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Doug Plagans, radio voice for the Florida Panthers. You can hear the game tonight right here on 560 WQAM just a couple hours from now. And in fact, the Panthers pregame show will begin at 6 p.m. So Plagans is pressed for time. You're busy right now, aren't you, Plagans?
Yeah, we get the a little bit earlier start, which is fine with me. Remember the other night, it was an 8:30 Eastern time start, which really meant about an 8:48 puck drop here in the Eastern time zone. So excited for the little bit earlier start time for this one. And, well, if you're the Panthers, you're hoping for a similar result to the other night.
Will it actually start at 6:30, you think?
I would imagine it's going to be a little bit after 6:30, but I don't have the timesheet right in front of me.
I got you. So what did we learn? I asked this yesterday of George Richards. What did we learn from Tuesday night's beatdown? That the Panthers, they are ready and on the road to a repeat, or you can't judge just one game against a Tampa team that's this good, that there's no way it's going to look like that throughout the series?
You can learn a few things. I think you have to preface it all with, yeah, it was a great win. It was great to see Matthew Tkachuk come back after missing the last 25 games of the regular season and look like he did. It was great to see the power play look how it did. It was great to see Sergei Bobrovsky, who was tested in that one, come up with some big saves. That being said, Billy Lindsay and I talked about it on the broadcast. I know it's cliche, but it doesn't matter if you win 3-2, 6-2, 10-2, 12-2. It still is just in a seven-game series. They're playing against a Tampa Bay team that has a championship pedigree. A lot of these guys have won, and they're as battle-tested as any team, any team really outside of the Panthers and Vegas and teams like that, teams that have won recently. These are two of the most battle-tested teams in the league. So, they're going to come out and have a good response. I would imagine tonight the Panthers did a great job capitalizing on their chances the other night, but I would imagine Tampa Bay comes out with some fire. One thing we did learn, though, the other day, and I thought this going into the series could be an X factor, but you look at the way the two teams match up, that there are a lot of different elements to both teams that kind of offset each other. You look at for example, those top two forward lines. The high-end elite skill on both sides is as elite as it gets. You've got two future Hall of Fame goaltenders. You've got good defense on both sides. But I like the Panthers' forward depth better than that of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Anthony Cirelli, who is the second-line center for the Tampa Bay Lightning, plays a really good two-way game, and he's very important to Tampa Bay and what they do. He's a game-time decision tonight. And the Lightning already were without Oliver Bjorkstrand, who they acquired leading up to the trade deadline. If they are without Anthony Cirelli tonight, that's a pretty big loss for them. So we'll monitor that as we get closer to puck drop here tonight. But the Panthers' forward depth, specifically the third and fourth lines of the Panthers, that could be something that ultimately swings this thing in the Panthers' favor. It's the one, it's the area, I think, where the Panthers have the ability to really create a potential matchup that really favors them.
The Panthers don't want to do anything different tonight, right? I mean, Paul Maurice can't look at the game Tuesday and say, well, here are the tweaks I need to make, right? Because it went exactly the way they wanted it to.
Well, you know, this is a team that's played really well on the road, in the Paul Maurice era, and they're really confident, away from home. I would think, like you said, they came out, they managed when Tampa Bay did get some traction. There was a point when the game got tied up at one that the Lightning got a little bit going, but that goal Sam Reinhart scored, the deflection goal late in the first period, really did seem like it kind of turned the game in the Panthers' favor for good, and they came out and scored early in the second period too, and wound up being able to kind of ride that wave for the rest of the game and looked really good doing it. So, yeah, I think you look at it, and that's what one of the biggest things that this Panthers team has tried to emphasize in the Paul Maurice era is making sure the game looks the way they want it to look and that they play a game they can duplicate night to night. So you said it right there. If they can try and duplicate what they did in game one, you certainly like their chances here in game two.
Doug, the Lightning seem to be like this very trendy pick to win the cup going into the playoffs. And I was just reading all the national outlets and different people. They're all suggesting, hey, the Panthers are limping into the postseason. Not that they're not talented enough, but they're limping in. So it gave me some cause for concern. Were you surprised at how crisp everything looked considering so many different guys, including Tkachuk, hadn't played in quite some time? Like how crisp and how great everything looked in game one when everybody came back and was on the ice together?
Well, I think the first part of your question, I was also surprised. Tampa Bay is a good hockey team. They're full of future Hall of Famers. They are extremely well coached. They have everything. I mean, they're similar to the Panthers in that regard. They've got everything that you could want. They're equipped to be able to make a deep run. So I wasn't surprised that there were some so-called experts picking them. You're going to get people picking both teams when it comes to trying to, you know, prognosticate in a playoff bracket and things like that. But I did think that there were a lot of people kind of, I don't know if they were, if sleeping on the Panthers was the right terminology, but I thought there were a lot of people in their predictions that maybe weren't giving the Panthers their full marks, their full value, because going into the playoffs, like I said, this is as battle tested a team as you're going to get. And look up and down the lineup and look at game one. I mean, if we're looking at, just like I said, I was talking about the forward depth, that could be enough right there to swing this thing in the Panthers' favor. In game one, the Panthers on their fourth line had Nico Sturm, who was a cup winner with Colorado back in 2022. Evan Rodriguez, who you could have made a case that he was the Panthers' best player in the Stanley Cup final last spring, he was playing on the fourth line last game. The Panthers' third line is Anton Lundell, Etulo Ostarinen, and Brad Marchand, three cup winners, including a future Hall of Famer in Brad Marchand. And Tampa Bay doesn't have that kind of depth in their bottom six. So the Panthers are a deeper group, especially as far as the forwards are concerned. And, you know, when you looked at the way people were making their predictions leading up this, it made me think that not a lot of people were paying enough attention to the Panthers down the stretch. And, yeah, they had some guys in and out. Paul Maurice was making sure that he gave guys a chance to heal things that might have been ailing them. They didn't have Tkachuk for the last 25 games. Obviously, Aaron Ekblad's been out, but this Panthers team was playing a game that they liked, and they were playing a lot of close games, and they liked how they were trending heading into the playoffs, even though the win-loss record might not have been where they wanted it to be. As far as how they looked in game one, was I surprised? Absolutely not. This team knows exactly what they need to do come playoff time, and they showed it in game one.
I was a little surprised, can't lie. And I know Solana was surprised because he thought the Lightning were going to steamroll the Panthers.
No, that's not what I thought.
He was one of those guys that slept on the Panthers and was all over Tampa going into the series. Very early start tonight, Plagan. So what do? You have dinner before the game or during the game or after?
I already crammed in dinner. I had to eat a little. I adjusted my schedule and ate a little earlier because I wanted to be able to jump on with you guys and make it all work. So
you had dinner about 4 o'clock?
Pardon me?
You had dinner around 4 o'clock?
Yeah, about 4:10.
What'd you have?
They had some chicken, some rice. They have a really nice salad bar, so I had that. And I also, it might not be a Sunday, but I had a Sunday.
That's not going into a broadcast. A chocolate sundae sits in you all right? It doesn't slow you down?
Yeah, puck doesn't drop for over 2 hours. I'm good. As Bill Lindsay or Randy Moeller would say, but it's back checking food.
Who else? Were they down there? Was Moeller and Goldie and everybody having dinner already?
Yes, everybody is dining and fueling up for the big broadcast tonight.
All right, well, have a good broadcast tonight. You can hear it here on 560 WQAM. Pregame starts at 6 p.m. Puck drops at 6:30, and the Panthers lead the series emphatically 1-0. Thank you, Plagans. Have a good broadcast.
Thanks very much, guys. Talk to you soon.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
That is some cojones, boys! Wow!
Hawk and Crowder.
All right, give us a little 15 minutes of heat here, Solana.
Ladies and gentlemen, stand up and make some noise for 15 minutes of heat.
Brought to you by our friends over at Hollywood Kia. Right now, get the start treatment at Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in South Florida. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia. Remember, you can shop online, HollywoodKia.com.
So when we first started the show, I had mentioned that Solana and I had a little back and forth on Twitter last night because I didn't think it was the right time to stand for Nikola Jovic after that game last night. He had so many mistakes at the end, but I don't blame him for the loss, which was Solana's point, that there were people who were actually blaming him for the loss. So I understand the difference between the two. And I want to read from Ira. I had promised you earlier as well something about Bam. But I want to start with Jovic. So Ira gets a question in the Ask Ira column at the Sun Sentinel. Eric Spoelstra lost this game by leaving a rusty Nikola Jovic in. Where was Andrew Wiggins? Ira Winderman responds, at the scorer's table midway through the fourth quarter, and then the Heat continued to rally. The problem wasn't necessarily Nikola Jovic remaining in the game. The problem was his shot selection, refusing to recognize he was off with his three-pointers. His rebounding mattered, as did his ball handling and creativity. As for Wiggins, it was if he wasn't even there when he was on the court.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw why Golden State was happy to get Jimmy, and Jimmy went out. But the Jovic thing was a little bit frustrating last night because Ira's right there. Sometimes you can self-identify, like, I'm off. I'm off. And if that air ball didn't jump out to you, that I'm off. I don't know. He frustrated me at the end of the game. And again, he hadn't played in a long time, and I love the energy that he brought, and I love what he did in keeping him in that game. It was a rough end.
I get it, but I also think there is some context to some of the shot selection because Hawk, the last three that he attempted late in the game, I think at that point it's a 3-point game. Davion Mitchell is able to corral the ball. He drives towards the basket, and Nico's wide open from three.
A great look.
He's on the floor. He has to take that shot. If he doesn't, if he drives, and even if he gets a layup, everybody's saying, "Hey, dummy, you were wide open from three," despite what he was shooting from before. So, like, that shot specifically, he bricked it. He was off, for sure. And then earlier in the fourth quarter, the air ball that everybody wants to point out, the Heat were on a 2-on-1 fast break, and the ball ends up to him trailing. Like, that to me isn't Nico's fault per se. Yes, make the shot. I get it, but...
Or don't airball it. Yeah, how about that? Yeah, how about we start there?
I'm with you. But also, hey, convert the 2-on-1 fast break, and you don't put him in that position. There's no doubt his late-game decision-making was brutal. Those two turnovers were awful, and he was 1 of 8 from three. Like, that kills you, but he's not why you lost the game. He's a big part of why you were in that position in the first place.
Will Manso tweeted out after the game, Nico Jovic was hard on himself in the locker room post-game, blames himself for the loss, but appreciates Spo having the confidence in him. He had been waiting for the opportunity. He had made the most of his opportunity. He did. There's a reason he was in the game at the end of the game. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason. Like, wasn't if he was playing, if he was doing what we saw right at the end of the game throughout the entire game, he wouldn't have been on the court, by the way, which is why Duncan Robinson, I know, because I needed one more three, wasn't on the court. Then they put Duncan in like the last 25 seconds. I don't know if you saw him go in because they needed like some miracle threes.
Yeah.
And he still wasn't. I thought I might have a miracle cover on that parlay. He still wasn't getting the ball. But here's the email that I had teased earlier about Bam Adebayo, because I was saying, you know, if you want to blame anybody, maybe Bam. Somebody wrote into Ira, this is at sunsentinel.com, is Bam Adebayo a max player, and should the Heat have paid him as a max player? Does the amount he's paid impact the team negatively by handicapping its options to build a championship team? Do you think that the team wins Wednesday night if Bam actually dominated like a max player? And I do think it's a fair question. And Jim Larrañaga will talk about this in the 5 o'clock hour, because we expect gaudy point numbers from max players. We do. I don't think that's newsworthy. I mean, right? Like, even the Rudy Gobert trade, when you go, wait, what'd they get, 5 number ones or something?
Yeah, 5 first-round picks.
And when you don't, when you trade those kind of assets for someone who doesn't put up gaudy point numbers, it's the Chris Bosh thing down here in Miami with the big three. Like, that's how we judge, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
That is how we judge max players. That's how we judge most players. Ira writes in response to that, I'm not going to get into the contract because this is not the time, but I will address Bam Adebayo's performance from Wednesday night, because there were plenty of questions submitted this way in that regard. Here's the deal, Ira writes. He closed with 11 points, 14 rebounds, and 9 assists. Yes, he was just 3 of 9 from the field, but that also included 1 of 5 on three-pointers. From the outset, it was clear the Heat's approach was to take any three-pointer available. So Bam followed the game plan. Only one fell, his rhythm was busted. He did as asked. It just didn't work. Bam getting to work his game out to the three-point line likely would have created better rhythm. So he did as asked on offense while making sure he attacked the boards and set up teammates to score. I don't look at that as a fail. So Ira gives you a little context there. You look at it and you go, okay, you're down three or whatever. Where's your max guy to take over? But he did contribute in many. I mean, he was one assist away from a
triple-double.
Probably would have paid a lot of money, too, by the way. Now that if I think about it in gambling terms, that would have paid a hefty amount of money.
I just don't understand how we're here again with Bam Adebayo, Hawk, where people are looking at his points and saying, hey, he's not putting up 30 in this game. He's a bum. And I just don't understand how you're there again with Bam.
It's not he's a bum, but I think a lot of Heat fans last night were like, whoa, 11 points? That's all you could muster?
To me, the thing at halftime where 5 of his 6 attempts were from three and he went 1 of 5, there for sure, it's a head-scratcher. The Heat don't attempt a single shot at the rim yesterday. I'm with everybody, but You also have to look at who you're playing. Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. And clearly Bam's front court mate, Khalil Ware, as much as we love him, isn't ready to play at this
level. First bucket of the game, that's all I needed. He was the MVP in my book.
Cooper Moorhead of Heat.com, Hawk. To me, this is the response to that person. Bam off net rating for the Miami Heat. So when Bam's not on the floor, -79.1. Bam on, -8. Now, -8 isn't great. It's not like, oh, great.
It's a hell of a lot better than -79.
-79. And when he's on the floor, it's -8.
Which shows you, by the way, Cleveland's a better team. You can extrapolate those two numbers alone as to say Cleveland is just a superior team. And it probably, all this stuff, probably doesn't need to go much further than that.
Did you see the stat Tim Reynolds tweeted out this morning? Here's how good the Heat were statistically last night. 112 points, 16 threes, better than 50% shooting, and they allowed less than 50% shooting. NBA teams were 76-0 with those numbers in playoff games all time. The Miami Heat, as an organization, were 45-1 with those numbers in all games all time in franchise history. The Heat lost the game by 9 yesterday. The Cavs are mother bleeping really good. And they're better
than
the Heat.
And Donovan Mitchell was just unconscious at the end. Just unconscious at the end. So anytime, like, that's a game of emotion too, where you start to chip away and then all of a sudden you start to feel things turn. And Donovan Mitchell never let you get to the point where you thought you could get into it because he was hitting anything from anywhere. It was frustrating as hell as a fan. I can't imagine what that must feel like out on the court. You're just trying to get a stop, and it doesn't matter who's on him and how tightly they're guarding him. That guy's just dropping him down from wherever he is.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I'm thinking about downloading this TikTok.
Hawk and Crowder.